Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, you know what? I don't care what you say. Christians enjoy life a lot more than the non-Christian. He promises he'd go with us through our problems and our conflicts and our troubles. And boy, oh boy, America's in trouble. But let me tell you quickly, I love my country. I love my flag. I love our servicemen and women. But I do criticize our government because, boy, oh boy, they're in a mess. And you know it as well as I do. But let's keep praying that God will come and intervene and put our country back on her feet again. Bring the Lord back and let him come into our churches and our homes and our schools. We can pray at all that. Well, keep praying for me and my wife. I want you to know, without your prayers, I'd be in bad shape. Well, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. In preparing their sermons, many preachers prepare no place to stop. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the first Colossians, the 18th verse through 22. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, to him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Well, we've labeled this one here the head of the church. Who is the head of the church? A question that brings conflict. Well, here's the answer. Paul declared Christ to be the head of the church. Why is Christ called the head of the church? Why does he merit his position? And how should this affect local churches? Well, listen. Let's read verse 18 again. Christ is to have the preeminence in the church, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is before all things. He is eternal. And he is a living one, the firstborn from the dead. Now, his resurrection proves his deity, and I read in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Listen, his resurrection is also the sign of his authority. And I read in John 2:18, "And then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said." Well, listen, friends, no earthly office approaches his position. And I'll tell you something else that a lot of churches don't even recognize in my own denomination, and I can attest to this. Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Well, today, let me tell you what they do. They're sending pastors out to hold revivals in churches instead of evangelists. They're all wrong. We have a special call. Why? You never have heard me say that a pastor doesn't have a harder job than I do, because they do. I pastored for several years, and I know we have to study, but our main purpose is, you say preaching? The main purpose is training, winning souls, and teaching his disciples how to go out. One of the greatest missionaries ever known was over in China. And he came home on this ship, and everybody was out there. There was a president. Roosevelt was on this ship. And hundreds, yea, thousands of people come out to welcome the president back home. He was the last off the ship, but there was no one there to welcome him. He said, "Lord, how come there was no one to welcome me home?" He said, "Son, you're not home yet. We're just sojourners passing through." Beloved, listen to me. God has told us what a prophet's job is, what an apostle's job is, what an evangelist's job, pastors and teachers. He gives us our instruction, even for deacons. But we don't do it. Hey, I know churches, not more than one church, excuse me a second. I know churches that don't have deacons. That's unscriptural. A deacon is the most wonderful thing a pastor can have on his staff. Well, they don't do the pastor's job, but they sure help the pastor. I wouldn't have traded my deacon for 10 sacks of wheat. Deacons are very important. You know what? There should be a deacon in every church that handles the helping the poor and the needy. We don't have them, but there is churches who do have them. What does he do? Well, he finds out there's somebody in their church has a need. And they say that they see that they're taken care of with food, lodging, whatever it might be. But whenever I find a church without a deacon, I know that the pastor is in charge and not the deacons. Oh, friends, pastors are not perfect. And boy, howdy, I sure wasn't a perfect pastor. But I tell you what I did do. I did train my people. And I visited my people. And that is something that we're doing now. The pastor don't even show up for work. They have a study. They're supposed to be in there every day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, but they don't. I've called pastors all over the country, can't get a hold of them because they're not there. And they have somebody answer the phone. Is the pastor? No, he's golfing today. He had the third tee, I guess, off. That discouraged me. No, pastors need relaxation. Just sure they do. They need vacations. Of course they do. But they're no better than you, beloved. You work all week to support your family. And he expects you to come to church to listen to what he's got to say, don't he? No, my friends, we need a good shake-up at our churches today. We need a revival preached by evangelists and not pastors. And you might be surprised what God can do in your church. Believe me, friends. Well, the gifted people serve him in the church. They draw their authority from whom? From him. They get their anointing from God. You know, local authority must be carried out in love. 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these are charity or love. That's what the Bible said. Read it. Church leaders ought to be Christ-like in serving him. I'm asking you a personal question. How Christ-like are you? Think about it. Or me, or we. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. Well, 1 Peter 18:19, it says, for so much as ye have, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, he brought his church with his blood. Now, if you lose your blood, you lose your life. You can bleed to death. And Jesus is his blood washes away all your sins. You say, well, I thought when I got baptized. No, water has nothing to do with your sins. It is a testimony of the death, burial, resurrection. Well, the Bible said his blood paid for our sins, and which we know is true. The reconciliation made at the cross was affected all things. This includes all things on earth and heaven, both experience and expectation. Nothing on earth or in heaven can separate us from his love. And I read in Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it also tells us in Romans 5:8-9, this is made personal by faith. Romans 5:8-9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Well, nothing can separate us from that love, and you know it as well as I do. Boy, I tell you, I want you to know, I have to tell you this story. I was pastoring a church, my first church in Oregon. And I went to a pastor's conference the churches had a conference. And the one man in our convention did not like me under no condition. And the reason he didn't like me, because I didn't have seminary. He said, my preachers are all going to have seminary. Well, this one didn't. And let me tell you what he did. When I was ordained, he asked me this question. I went before an ordination council of seven preachers. He said, Mr. Moe, let's assume that you can pass the test and we will ordain you. But let's supposing, excuse me, let's supposing that we don't ordain you. What are you going to do? I said, keep right on preaching. Because God called me, you didn't. And that's the truth. God called me to preach. Man didn't call me. You think I'd been stupid enough to preach if I wasn't called? And yet, beloved, there are a fantastic amount of uncalled preachers today. Their mama called them. Oh, yeah, my son would be a good preacher. And that's a good profession. It's not a profession. It's a calling. God has a calling on every born-again believer's life. Whether you've experienced it, whether you've accepted or found out about it, that's your problem. But he lets you know if you are tremendously concerned about what's going on in your life. You say, Cecil, I've got to make a living for my family. So did I. I pastored and I worked in the daytime. When I was going to college, Bible college, I worked all day long roofing, and I'd go to school at night. Does that make me special? No. But I was concerned about my call. What was God going to do for me? What does he want? I didn't know at first I was going to be an evangelist. I really thought I was going to be a pastor. But I am not a pastor. And anybody who knows my preaching knows I'm not a pastor. But I have a concerned heart. Billy Graham, you know, he pastored before he became an evangelist. And he said because he pastored, he had much more insight than if he hadn't. And I agree with him. I've told you before, a pastor's job is to train, to teach, to preach, to baptize, and to administrate. And he's got a hard job if he is doing what he is called to do. You say, well, Cecil, we got a lazy preacher in our church. He don't do anything. Well, that's your fault, not mine. You need to get on your knees and ask God for direction. You need to get a man there that will teach, a man that will preach and win souls and teach his people. Nobody is a born soul winner. Believe me, they're not. God has to train you. Tom Baird took me by the hand. And he took me out, I'll never forget, the first time I went visiting. I told him I didn't know anything about the Bible, which I didn't. And he said, Cecil, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You just go with me, and I want to show you what it is like to go into visitation. Well, I went into that home, and I was scared spitless. Oh, I was scared. And Tom went through all of his stuff, you know, about the church and what he was doing and welcoming them to the church and all this, you know. And then he turned to me. He said, Brother Cecil, would you tell this man what Jesus means to you? All of a sudden, I forgot I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew Jesus. And believe you me, that bug bit me that day. And from that time on, he didn't have to beg me to go with him to visitation or winning souls. And I tell you, friends, God is looking for soul winners more than he has great orators. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm telling you. You say, well, Cecil, I don't have much of an education. That's no excuse. You say, I'm a little heavy. That's still no excuse. He calls us. He commands that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not saying you're all preachers, but believe it or not, all Christians basically are preachers, kind of. What do we do? We're supposed to tell them how. We're supposed to invite them to church. We're supposed to love the lost, the poor and the needy and the downtrodden. Now, I told you a long, long time ago, Reverend Tom Baird was pastor of a church in Kellogg, Idaho. Idaho. Did I say Idaho? Idaho. That's my uncle used to say Idaho. Well, he called me one time to come up and preach on a Sunday morning and night. So my wife and I and the kids, we'd gotten our travel trailer. We went up there and had a wonderful service. Just a wonderful service. And while I was there visiting, Tom and I went out and visit every hour I was there when I wasn't preaching. Well, a couple, 3 weeks or a month, I don't know, later, I get another phone call from Brother Tom. He said, Brother Mo, he said, would you come up? He said, my wife and family and I are going to Virginia on a vacation. Would you come up and preach for me? I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So we popped in our truck. We went up there to Kellogg. And the minute I walked in that church, I knew something was real, real wrong. You could feel it. And so the deacons invited my wife and I out for and family for dinner. And while we were sitting there eating dinner, I said, Deacon, I don't want to do anything wrong, but I want to ask you something. What is wrong in that church? We didn't have that when I was here 3 or 4 weeks ago. Brother Mo, he said, I want to tell you something that's breaking my heart. They're going to fire Reverend Tom Baird when he comes back to the church. I said, on what grounds? Well, he goes out in the ghettos in the poor part of town, and he leads all these young poor people to the Lord, and he brings them to church. Well, they can't support the church. I said, am I hearing what you just said? That they're firing him because he's bringing poor people into the church that can't support the church? He said, that's correct. That night I did something I've never done before or since. I got up in the pulpit and I said, this pulpit belongs to Reverend Tom Baird. Not only was he my pastor, but he was the man that introduced me to Christ. And I understand that you're going to fire this man because he brings poor people in the church that can't afford to support the church. I want you to know, beloved, God help this church if that's what you do. Well, sure enough, they fired him. He had to sell his furniture to get enough money to go back to Virginia. And about 2 months later, there was a huge explosion in the mine in Kellogg, Idaho. Several people died. Some of them were members of that church. I'm telling you, friends, God said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, thus saith the Lord. Well, Christ presents the church perfect in heaven, verse 21-22. And you that were sometimes alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Aliens have been made part of God's family. Enemies have always become the recipients of his grace. Wicked ones have been reconciled to the Holy One. Sinners are presented unblameable by the head of the church. Faulty ones are presented unreprovable from the throne. Who can measure such grace of understanding such love? Does Christ have first place in your church, in your worship and business? If not, why not? Let's make Christ the head of our church in our lives. Christ is our shepherd. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, and deacons are under shepherds. You show me a pastor run led church making all the decisions, who act as dictators, should be removed from the church by the vote of the church. Let me tell you this, and this is true. You show me a church run strictly by a pastor, and I will show you a dying, defeated church. Beloved, talk to the Lord. Hold your pastor up in prayer. Yes, I do. I don't hate pastors. I love pastors. But they're not doing their job, many of them. I know churches used to be on fire, and now they're dead. Well, Let me ask you a question, friend. Do you feel sometimes that your church is not doing right? Do you pray for it? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for your deacons if you have any? It's time to do it now, while we still have time. If you have a tugging at your heart tonight, would you turn your life over to Jesus? Oh, listen, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask for your money. Don't care where to go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Give me a call at 303-471-8534. And here's the prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins tonight. I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You want to talk to me, 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Beloved, I am concerned about our local churches. I've traveled around this old world and I've seen hundreds, yea, thousands of churches. I'll tell you one that's a really growing church, and that's down in Albany, Oregon, and the pastor's Dale Freeman. Boy, I never saw such a growing. He was my pastor here in Denver, and he works his heart out. He's had a stroke, but he's still going for Jesus. Pray for Dale Freeman and his church. They have a worldwide prayer chain, too, in case you want to pray. You let me know and I'll contact him, or you can contact him and talk to him. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to continue to pray for our ministry, pray for our tape ministries and our prison ministries and every door that God opens for us. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.